on our series on ministry. And although we didn't do every single thing on ministry, Matthew 10 is where we'll be. I think we got a pretty good foundation. And on the foundations of ministry. And I want you to invite people. And if you know people like this, we're going to talk about breaking the cycles and things that continue on, whether it's generational, whether it's just your personal life, whether it's a character flaw or a sin. We want to talk breaking the cycles, and so that'll start next week. And so today I want to talk about ministry, the reward of ministry. I think this is our ninth lesson, the reward of ministry, Matthew 10, the reward of ministry. Verse 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give the drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Let's go ahead and pray. And God, we are honored to have your word. We thank you, Father, for the Bible. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the chance to serve you. We thank you for the reward of the ministry. Lord, all of us are called to love and serve one another and bear one another's burdens and go and preach the gospel to every creature. All of us are called to the ministry in a sense, Lord, though maybe not full-time as our vocation. And I pray today we would learn what a blessing it is to be involved in your work and what a blessing it is to do this, Lord, and realize that the cost, though there is a cost and though there is an attack and though we get attacked more, as we've talked about, though we pay a price, though we give ourselves away, and though we have to be strong when others are weak and when we are weak, Lord, our reward is greatly worth it, and I pray you bless as we learn. I pray your word would speak to us and refresh us and excite us about the opportunity of ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Simply put, those that choose a life of ministry are rewarded and rich in heaven. Simply put, those that are choose a life of ministry are rewarded and rich in heaven. We see this person right here. It says, you can't even get a cup of cold water In the name of a prophet without receiving the prophet's reward. You doing work, even if it's just, here's a prophet preaching the word, I'm going to give him a cup of cold water because he's probably thirsty. You receive a prophet's reward. And we certainly see just on earth how that in many stories in the Bible, here's a widow and she goes and takes care of a prophet and she receives unlimited food during a famine. And God rewards, that's ministry. She was ministering to the prophet. The prophet was ministering to the nation. That's all ministry, and it's all rewarded. Isn't it an amazing thing that in this morning's service, someone while I'm preaching will pray for me to have power, and you're part of the ministry. Dave will seat somebody, and he's part of the ministry. And Ron will go visit his cars, and he's part of the ministry. And Chrissy puts up signs, and she's part of the ministry. And somebody else greets a visitor. We all are part of the ministry and get part of the reward. It's an amazing opportunity to serve the Lord. And we get very rich in heaven. Matthew 19. So you pay a price with your time. You pay a price with your effort. You pay a price getting a cup of water. But you receive great reward from the ministry. Matthew 19 and verse 24. Again, I say unto you, it is easier for... let me go back. I'm sorry. Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. You see that actually, you don't lose. This man was said, go sell all you have and give it to the poor. Go to the ministry and follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. It's actually just a transfer of treasure. But the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 19, I believe it is, it says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so we see that it is what you do is you transfer your money from earth, or you transfer your energy or your time or whatever you do from earth to heaven. That's why Paul said, I'll gladly spend myself and be spent for you. He said, man, you get so much back. The reward is so amazing, and God blesses those. Those who live a life of ministry are rewarded and are rich in heaven. And this guy, he could give up his treasure on earth and he'd be rich in heaven. And boy, that guy has been kicking himself for 1,950 years. He could have lived, he's a rich young ruler. Let's say he's 25. Let's say he's 20. And he lived till 70. And that's a long life expectancy then. He lived 50 more years, and he was rich during that time probably. And for the last 1,950, at the very least, he's in heaven without much. Somewhere along the way, he believed on Christ, others resurrected. Who knows? It's very hard for a rich person to be saved, it says. And so, and for the next trillion years, he could have had all those treasures in heaven for what he would have lost. That's a bad investment. It's like somebody saying, you know what? I'm going to sell my house, sell my car. I'm going to sell my 401k. I'm going to give all this away because there's this awesome day coming up and I get the best day of my life. That's what it's like. It's crazy not to live a life of serving and ministry and living for God. This world is not my home, we just sing. I'm just passing through. So a few thoughts on this. Number one, even if your ministry is hard, in the end, you rejoice. Now, I want to say this. Ministry is always hard because the devil attacks those who are ministering. Okay, they always get attacked more. That's normal. You get attacked in relationships. And always true in the Bible. The devil tries to turn people's heart away from you, and you get personally attacked more than anybody. Paul and Jesus and whoever you want to mention in the Bible. It's just with Moses, you name it. But it might be harder. I know some people in our church, you're busy anyway, but you spend a lot of time praying, a lot of time maybe soul winning. You do ministry. You pray. You visit. We have people who visit the nursing homes, Peggy and others, and you spend time. You're busy now. You're even busier. You give all the things that people do for ministry. They might have a harder time because of that. But though it might be hard, you rejoice in the end a lot because of it. Because there's a great reward in the ministry. Psalm 126 says it this way. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. He that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Oh man, you are so glad. You are so glad that you gave yourself. You are so glad. Now it might be weeping. Even if your ministry is hard, in the end you rejoice. Galatians 6:9, being not deceived, God has not mocked whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In due season, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Listen, even if your ministry is a hard ministry, and some people's are, I know my good friend, Brother Hernada, we were looking, we have this Open Door International that we try to raise some money and send it to Haiti for his ministry, and we were watching the video of him and telling me about his next project, and I'm videoing it, and he was sick that day, and he looked terrible. I think of all the suffering he's been through. He could have lived a very comfortable life in the Philippines. He was on an island, on a farm. He was the oldest son, and his dad wanted him to take over the farm, and it was a comfortable life with coconut trees and mangoes. I mean, and now he's in Haiti. His house has been attacked by mobs twice. He's had malaria 8 times. He's had cholera. He's had been through so many things. And every day living in the heat, the terrible things that have happened to him and all, but you know what? He's a very rich man in heaven. And you know what? I will probably not look real good compared to him. but he's ministering. You say, man, that's a terrible thing. He has to suffer that much. No, he's going to get over-rewarded for it. And this life only lasts 70 years. Even if your ministry is hard and his ministry has been hard, in the end, you rejoice. You come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. And it's great. Number two, people doing his work are special in heaven. People doing his work are special in heaven. Well, of course they are. They that be wise, Daniel 12:3, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. No wonder it kept on saying three. It said three times in one chapter, O Daniel, thou art greatly beloved. Why? Daniel was changing a kingdom and laboring for God. And it said, you are greatly beloved. Of course. How do you think I would feel if a fireman went in my burning house and pulled my kids out of the fire? You think I'm going to like the fireman? And what do you think God thinks of his laborers down on earth who are pulling people out of the fire? Who are feeding hungry people? Who are meeting the needs of people? Who are loving people? Who are helping the brokenhearted? Who are comforting those that mourn? God wants those things done. He loves those people, and his laborers will shine as the brightness of the firmament. They're greatly beloved. They are very special in heaven. How do you think God feels about those when he sees all these needs and the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few? And what do you think the Lord thinks of those who are down here doing nothing who could help? Have you ever done a job that needed done and somebody else would just stood there and didn't help? Who could have helped you? How do you think God says, I need your help. Go. Help somebody. I've given you these abilities. Give, pray, work. Boy, God, up in heaven, God thinks very highly. Heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. There are some people who makes heaven rejoice because they help people repent. There's others who are living their life and say they're too busy and got their this earth, they're living for this earth. But those they're very special in heaven. If you are working for God, you're laboring for God, you are very special in heaven. Let me read you some verses on this. It's great verses. I just think they're so applicable to what we're talking about. James chapter 5. In verse 20, it says, last verse of James, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Boy, that's powerful. That's an important person. Look what it says in the Bible. It says in James, it says also in Titus, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. What is pure before God? To visit the fatherless and the widows in their own affliction. And to keep himself unspotted for the world. Those who are taking care of orphans, those who are visiting the nursing home, those who are visiting widows, those people, God says, are pure before me and undefiled. And I'm pleased with their religion and I'm pleased with them. Why? They are doing ministry. God is pleased with those. No one, if God thinks them so highly, once you understand how highly God thinks of his laborers, you understand if you give a prophet a drink of water. Jesus says, those who receive you, receive me. If they won't receive you, cast the dust off your feet. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them. Why? Because God thinks very highly of those doing ministry. He esteems, and so he says, treat them that way. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, and verse 25, look how God looks at those who labor and look how they're supposed to be looked at, because it comes down from heaven because heaven's thinking very highly of them. So he says, you better think very highly of them on earth, those who are laboring for God. Verse 25, I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because ye heard that he had been sick. Isn't that funny? He was very sad because the Philippians heard that he had been sick. He didn't want them depressed because of his sickness. He was one of those people who understood others and thinking of the needs of others. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully. He says, I sent him in a very careful journey so he wouldn't get more sick. That when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. He says he almost died doing the work of Christ. He was sick near to death, so hold him very, esteem him very high for his work's sake. He has suffered in the ministry. So think him, esteem him, respect him with great respect. Why? Because God thinks very highly of those who are doing his work. And that's the attitude that we should have. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. Again, just verses about this thinking that God is very happy. When you're in the ministry, understood, you're thought of very highly in heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know that it's labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, your spiritual leaders, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself, as the Bible says. And we dig into the verses. Do you see how the laborers are to be thought of very highly and given great respect? As the Bible says. Why? Because God respects them very much. And God honors them in heaven. And God says, I want you to think and esteem them very highly. Anybody who's a laborer is very special to God. Of course they are. And what a great thing it is when God says, you're very highly esteemed. You are greatly beloved. You are going to shine. I love laborers. I mess with them, I mess with you. I will pour out judgment if you will not receive them. Why? Because those in the ministry, of course, and I'm not talking about just a pastor, I'm talking about anybody serving the Lord, of course, they're the ones who are picking the crops that God says need picked. And the laborers are loved in heaven. And I want to be that to God. I want God to say, I'm so glad he is doing my work. He has helped. He is doing what I needed to do. He is helping those needy people. He's winning those souls. He is comforting the brokenhearted. And what a sad thing if God's looking at and say, would you quit wasting your time gossiping and causing problems and living for this world and stop? Or a hindering the laborers. Whoa. Can you imagine those people? Wait till they die. Those who criticize and hinder labor. So yesterday I was out with the soul winners and we had a van full on the way back and we were having a good time. And I like to do this. I stopped by and I bought them on the way home some food and a little bit extra time. I bought them Great Riches called Chicken McNuggets and 20 for $5. And we didn't get very many. I said, you get two each. And God will be able to reward them greater than I will be able to, trust me. But you know why? They're working. They're out soul winning and visiting. And they're in the harvest. Many times I'll take my kids on the way home and we'll get a treat. We'll stop by and get ice cream on the way home. Or we'll go by and get pizza. Or we'll get Papa Murphy's. Boy, it's so nice. Which one's the one's ready? Little Caesar's, the one that's always ready. And we get them that. And why? Because they're laborers. Then they start saying, Dad, are we going to stop somewhere? Then we don't do it anymore for a while. Because they expect it. And so, anyway, why? Because we esteem them highly. A teenager, we have these teenagers and kids working. Man, our soul winners, they're very special in heaven. Next, what is the reward of the ministry? You get close to Jesus. I got to hurry. Matthew chapter 11, you get close to Jesus. Those who are laboring are close to Jesus. Why? They're laboring with him. Bible says we are laborers together with God. And I'm not going to turn all the verses, but just well-known verses are Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says when you take my yoke upon you, you learn of me. You always learn somebody better when you work with him. And when you work with Jesus, when you're in the ministry for God, when you decide you're going to feed the hungry and comfort the brokenhearted and help the needy and win the souls and do the work of God, you are working together with God. You're yoked with him. and you get close to Jesus. You want to get close to Jesus? You want to learn about God? Labor with him. Labor with him. Next, you get to bring your sheaves with you. We read Psalm 126, 5 and 6. He said, he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. A sheave is when you'd bundle together your grain. You'd have a bunch of wheat. You'd chop it down, and then you'd bundle it together in stacks, and these stacks would stand together. And those are sheaves, whatever it was tied together. And you'd bring your sheaves back with you. And so we find that they that are doing God's work, they get to bring back their sheaves with him. A lot of verses on this. I'm taking Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want to say this. The greatest sheaves are souls. The ministry is about people. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captives. The ministry is about people. It's about people. Look at Philippians 4, 1. Therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crowned. Stand fast in the Lord, dearly beloved. You know, Paul says, you Philippians are my joy, and you're my crown. Why? Looking at people you've influenced, looking at souls you can have an impact on, looking at your children who you've spent time, and that's ministry work, is discipling and training your children, and you, that they are your joy and crown. Your joy, people that you influence, souls you rescue, people who were miserable and hopeless who aren't, marriages who are falling apart who are fixed, people who are hungry who are fixed, orphans who now are happy and stable, souls that were lost and going to hell who are now going to heaven. That is a joy. That's your joy and crown. Influence. I believe in heaven. It looks to me, I can't absolutely prove it with the Bible, but it looks to me like you are presented in heaven when you stand in front of God and give an account. You do it with your converts. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. I'm going to show you this verse. That you get presented in heaven with your converts. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you, says the man who won them to Christ. Boy, there's a song and it's very powerful and we don't really sing it, but it might be in our, I'm not sure if it's our hymnal. It's, must I go in and empty handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? What a great song. And you bring your sheaves to heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like. I can't imagine. I have no idea how many souls I've won to Christ in my life. I have zero idea. But I can't imagine, not for my glory, not for to say, look what I did, not for you to look good, say what you did, but just to walk by someone in heaven and see them in perfection and glory and knowing God used me, whether by giving the money or praying for the harvest or personally witnessing them or handing out a tract, and I get to see them in heaven forever and had a part in that. I don't understand why someone would not be involved in that. I can't imagine you being saved, you being in this wealthy nation, you having all the opportunities to give and pray and give out tracts and all these things and witness and free to do it. You're not going to be persecuted and thrown into jail or killed. Why you wouldn't be involved in God's work? You're going to bring your sheaves with him, presented with them. What a joy. When I was a teenager, I look back and I look back. I was a goofball, man. I was, yeah, you know how bad I was. I told you before how bad I was. I was nothing but trouble. And we sat down for Christmas and with my family. And sure enough, all my brothers and sisters are telling stories about how bad I was to my kids. Shh! Don't tell those stories. Because I had so little character and I was such a mess and so bad. And then I started serving the Lord. And I look as a teenager when I really, really got it, really grew into a worker for God. Right about when I was 17. By the time I was 17, I was working and laboring. I look just what at my teenage years and what God did, and I'm amazed. I look, we were just with other relatives. I look and watched me and just praying, just taking praying and wrestling in prayer. And me and Pastor White, and we were just kids. And we were begging God to bring revival to our youth group and just watching five messed up kids. I mean, so bad. We were so bad that our youth leader quit and left the state. Okay? That's how bad they were. We were so bad. We were so bad. And we were begging God. He didn't know we were spiritual. We just had no clue how to act. We were undisciplined and disrespectful and everything else. And begging God for revival in our youth group. And watch that youth group all of a sudden catch on fire. And these kids who could hardly keep from being in bad trouble on during the week and everything else. And the pastor heard saying, "What are you guys doing?" And breaking into church to listen to preaching sermons and all the things we did. And all of a sudden, we went from 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 to 20 to 30 to 30 to 35. And we would have 30, 40 teenagers out witnessing on Friday nights. Watch my wife as a teenager who wanted to serve God, wasn't in a good church or youth group, come to our church, get on fire for God. Her family was a disaster, on the verge of divorce, serious mental problems and alcoholism, and just a complete wreck of a family. A daughter who was terribly ill and sick, an angry home of strife and unfaithfulness and everything else, and she began serving the Lord, and they were so angry about that. And to watch her begin to pray for her family and pray for her family and pray for her family, and then all of a sudden, Dad gets it. Dad turns his life around, starts coming to church, and Mom is not for it, and the kids are growing up and not looking good, and one of them's extremely unhealthy, life or death unhealthy all the time. And just watch that family turn around pretty soon. Mom gets it pretty soon. The kids are in Christian school. The one girl, her health just is transformed, becomes very healthy. Just saw them, by the way, I was just with them a week ago. Still serving the Lord. Both those girls, her sisters, went to Bible college. One of them's in full-time ministry. Her husband's a youth pastor. And watch the whole family get together and talk about the Lord. Every single one of them faithfully serving God. Just to watch the transformation. To watch how many of those teenagers are in the ministry today. Have been around the world as missionaries and other pastors. They are right now, I guarantee you, I know one of them's interpreting for the deaf in her church. One's a church secretary. Probably 20 of them are teaching a class or will be preaching somewhere this morning. Pastors all over the place. Just to see that and the joy of the fruit of that, boy, is so worth it. The weeping and praying into the night. It's so worth it. My wife was working on the bus route, and they were knocking on doors and inviting people. And one day she knocked on the door of a lady, and this lady said, "You know, I'm interested." She says, "I don't know anything about God or church, but I want my girls to be spiritual, and I read the Bible to them every day." She wasn't even saved. My wife witnessed to her, wanted to Christ. The girls started coming on the bus and coming to church. Dad was a guy who was a mechanic for Indy race cars, and it's not a good lifestyle. Traveling around America with the Indy crew, and was a bad, they weren't married, bad, I mean, immoral guy, unfaithful to her is everything. And to watch her get transformed, he come back to a different woman. To watch him come to church thinking, "What are you doing? This is crazy." And he gets saved. They get married. God calls him to the ministry. He becomes an assistant pastor. He'd been in jail so many times. He started a work release and picked up a van full of people from the work release ministry every single week and bring them to church. To watch what a joy it is for my wife to see that happen to a family. The ministry is so good. And the bringing your sheaves back with you and seeing God used me to impact this family. God used me to keep this soul from killing themselves. God used me to win this. Boy, this is a joy. I know it's God. I know we can't do anything without him. I know it's the power of the Spirit. I know God, it's God drawing him and the word of God. But I was a little part. Boy, the ministry has rewards. And not everything turns out great. Not everybody you witness to gets saved. Not everybody you work with stays in the right track. I want to tell you, though, the ones that do are the joy and crowns that make all the other work and discouragement and battle worth it. It makes it worth it. Let me read you an article here. This is, I thought this was interesting and says it pretty well. Let me start here. In the year 1854, a 17-year-old boy was working in a shoe shop in Detroit. He did not know Christ and had no interest in spirituality or religion, but he had been forced to go to Sunday school, as like a lot of kids in those days. One day, his Sunday school teacher went to where the young man worked and to lead him to Christ. The Sunday school teacher's name was Edward Kimball, and the young man was D.L. Moody. We now know that he went on to become one of the greatest evangelists in the world, and he shared the gospel with D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, it is said, shared the gospel with 100 million people, and a million of those were saved. This was in the age before modern technology. Pretty incredible. And of course, Moody is a founder of the Moody Memorial Church and Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and all the people who have come out of there. His name is well known in the Christian community, even today. Now, it's kind of cool to see that Moody went on to influence a man named F.B. Meyer, a London pastor and an intellectual who never focused on Jesus. Meyer's congregation told him they wanted this newly famous evangelist Moody to come to speak to them. So he reluctantly agreed to let Moody let his congregation hear Moody. Meyer, who had a lot of intellectual pride and was ashamed of the name of Jesus, invited Moody to a revival. When Moody showed up, Meyer immediately took a dislike to him. He didn't dislike him because Moody was not well-dressed and had only a sixth-grade education. Meyer had doctorates, he was brilliant, so he kind of looked down on Moody. But Moody, when Moody got up to preach, he was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's blessing was upon him. And as he spoke, he focused on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. As such, hundreds upon hundreds of people came to Christ in this large dead church that day from the pews. Meyer was embarrassed and consumed with jealousy. After the revival, Moody quietly left, leaving Meyer behind with his church and with his congregation and with his jealousy and anger. 2 weeks later, Meyer was talking to one of his Sunday school teachers, and the teacher said, "You know, I used to focus on all kinds of stuff. I never focused on Jesus, but Moody taught me to focus on Jesus. So I've been focusing on Jesus over these last 2 weeks, and I want to tell you about this boy who accepted Jesus during my class." As he told his story, Meyer began to weep. The Holy Spirit broke through. He was convicted and supernaturally changed. The rest of his life, he preached Jesus to all who would listen. As the years went by, Meyer influenced J. Wilbur Chapman. J. Wilbur Chapman influenced Billy Sunday. Then Billy Sunday influenced Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham was another great evangelist. And Mordecai Ham led Billy Graham to Christ. Do you understand? Spiritual dominoes. You see, it is incredible the power of the gospel. To think that Edward Kimball, a Sunday school teacher, D.L. Moody, F.B. Meyer, J. Wilbur Chapman, Billy Sunday, Mordecai Ham, then Billy Graham, all in a row, one going to the next, and all by the power of Christ, only serves to tell us that we need not fear. We should share the gospel with confidence and joy. When you tell someone about Jesus, we have no way of knowing what the domino effect is going to be. In our lifetime, we may not even be aware of the harvest of souls brought to the kingdom of God simply because we remain faithful to the call. So please be faithful. When Billy Graham did not come to the Christ, preaching of Mordecai Ham, it was during a tent meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, in 1936. Graham, born in 1920, was 16 years old, didn't know Christ, and was sowing his oats, as many young men are known to do. He had a 16-year-old buddy, and they were out hanging out, and they thought, "Hey, let's go into the tent and hear what that wacko has to say." So they were just clowning around when they went to the tent. Once outside, they realized there was no room for them. They couldn't find any seats, so Billy said to his buddy, "Let's get out of here." As they turned to leave, an usher standing there saw them and said, "Hey, guys." He put his big arms around their shoulders and said, "You know, hey, welcome. We're glad you're here. Let me get you a seat." So he ushered them to a seat, and the rest is history. Billy Graham found Jesus that night and went on to take Jesus to the world. The ushers could never have known that God was using him that night though he simply was being faithful to his service of being an usher. So serve Christ knowing that it might be a mystery, what God is going to do through you. It's incredible. God is great. The power of God attends the grace of the gospel. So be faithful to your call and commission. You never know how God's going to use you. Next, why is the great reward? We said, even if the ministry is hard, you rejoice. People doing his work are special in heaven. You get close to Jesus. You get to bring your sheaves with you. Next, those before you are rooting you on. Hebrews 12:1, a well-known verse. Those before you. Hebrews 11 talks about all the great believers who fought through all kinds of things and were fed to lions and did miracles and changed the world and part of the Red Sea. Chapter 12 says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and every sin and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race set before us. You know what it says? The people it just mentioned in Hebrews 11, Moses and martyrs and Elijah and all the people who've gone on before us, the Apostle Paul, all these people, they are a cloud of witnesses we're surrounded by. If I understand that correctly, it means they are up there in heaven looking down on us, watching. And then it says, let us run with patience. It's like a stadium. And they are rooting those on who are doing God's work. They've handed us the baton. How can we not have the joy of knowing you're being watched and rooted on by people who are burned at the stake, by people who serve God to death? And they, you, are their hope and heroes. That's the reward, is those before you are rooting you on. And just last of all, it's pretty simple, but the laborers help Jesus. I don't mean they help Jesus because they help his cause. I mean they literally help Jesus. Matthew 25, and I'll just read this passage. The greatest thing about the ministry is this, Matthew 25. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, I remember if I saw you. When saw we thee and hungered or fed thee or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I mean, you don't just do it for Jesus, you do it to Jesus. When we had our food bank this week, and we fed people, and we fed 150 people, we fed Jesus. When he found a housing for somebody, we put Jesus up in a house. When he went and visited someone, and we visit them in jail, they're not in the prison necessarily for the right reasons, but we visited them in jail. We visited Jesus. When he went and put our arm around that orphan in Haiti, and when he went and sent some money there, we took care of Jesus. Inasmuch, Jesus says next, as you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Josh got to drive in, I don't know how many, dozen, 15, whatever. Little Jesus is the church. Aaron got to drive, little Jesus is the church. Travis got to drive old Jesus to church. You say, oh, I don't believe. Well, then you don't believe what Jesus said. Inasmuch as you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Why is the ministry so awesome? Because God said, you're doing this to me. That's the ministry. You get to serve Jesus. And you're doing it for Jesus. And he says, you've done this for me. You help people. Now that's the ministry is. The ministry is helping people. What a joy and honor and privilege. No wonder he says, enter into the joy of thy Lord. No wonder he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to tell you, I've been doing ministry work since I was 16. It's longer than I want to admit. 17, I really got into it. Pushing 30 years, I know. I know I'm old. And I've been doing this for 27, 28 years. I've been, for American standards, I've been through a little bit. For what my forefathers and what people are going through in India and China and Iran right now, I've been through nothing. Let me tell you, I've lost a little sleep, lost a little hair from problems, had a few battles, had a few criticisms. Let me tell you, anything I've suffered has been nothing compared to the joy I've seen lives change. Hey, Jesus Christ transforms life. I've seen it 1,000 times. Jesus Christ transforms lives. I've seen people who are going to kill themselves, not kill themselves. We've seen people who've been addicted be unaddicted. We've seen people set free from every kind of sin and every. We've seen families rebuilt. We've seen many wonderful things. We've seen great things. I want to tell you, and so far, we haven't got the biggest part of the blessing of the ministry. That's in heaven. I hope you realize it's great to do God's work. Will sometimes people criticize you? Yep. Will people, when you try to be kind to them and witness them, will they say terrible things about you? Will they be mean to you and reject? Yep. Will there be people who will raise up to criticize you and try to tear you down and try to get you to come down from the ministry and come down and battle with them like happened to Nehemiah? Yep, it's part of the deal. But understand all the suffering that might come. And let's say worst case scenario, America changes and makes a bunch of the stuff we do illegal. It'll still well be worth it to serve the Lord. The ministry brings unbelievable rewards. It's wonderful. Hey, the water's good. Jump in and try it. It's great to help people. It's great to be doing God's work. And, man, and to be working there with Jesus and have Jesus in heaven looking down and hopefully saying about you and I, man, I'm so glad they're doing such a good job. There, angels, take care of them. They're very important. I want that attitude about me. I want God to be happy. I want the thing, people he loves to be helped. It's an awesome life. Ministry is. I hope you will live for people and live for the cause of Christ, because the ministry is full of rewards on earth and in heaven. It's great. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the ministry, Lord, and thank you Lord, you could have, once we get saved, just let the angels feed everybody and win everybody to Christ, and they did a better job than us, for sure. But you chose us to help needy people and to bear the burdens of each other and do all this work. You chose us. What an honor, Lord. May we realize the joy of doing that and what the privilege is. And may we get busy doing that, Father, helping people, being used by you. Now, Lord, we can't do without you, but, Lord, you put it in a situation of how shall they hear without a preacher? You put it on us, Lord, and we are the ambassadors. We are the ones who visit them in jail. We're the ones who feed the needy. We're the ones who go to the orphans. We're the ones who help the fatherless. Lord, help us to do our work and to labor with you and to know the joy of serving you and the joy of the ministry, the joy of all of it, giving, praying, working. May we be involved in it. We pray for your help in these things and for you to work mightily and help us to be involved in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The joy of the ministry. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.